Let's pray together. Father, we come before you asking that your word speak to us, as was sung over us just a few moments ago, where we submit ourselves and we are quiet as we listen to the Spirit of God move through the Word of God. Oh God, help us. We come before you with expectation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Any of you around when the internet started? A couple of you were. Remember the favorite butler that used to go and get every request you wanted? You could go to his website, and he was a little butler, and he'd stand there, and he was a search engine. And the idea was you could ask him whatever you wanted to, and he would go figure it out for you. Anybody remember his name?
Jeeves.
Y'all do remember. Ask Jeeves. You could go to Jeeves, and Jeeves would go figure out what you wanted and bring back the results. And I thought of him this week as I was preparing and reading through this passage. And then my wife pulled out a book this week, an audiobook that we were listening to as we were driving yesterday and today to town. And there was a butler in the story. I was always, it's intriguing when you think of a butler. What does he do? Well, in this story, there's a young man with him named Jack, who's a young boy of 12. And the butler continually calls him Master Jack. And you'd think, well, this grown man who is very smart and wise and is one of the heroes of the story calls this young man Master Jack, when clearly the young boy is his inferior. Why? Why did Jeeves want to serve you? Why does the butler in this story want to serve Master Jack, even though he's a third of his age? Why? And I will argue this morning, and as we get into God's Word, because he knows his role. And we've been working through this idea the last few weeks of knowing our role. What is our role in the church? What is our role under authority? And how do we handle that? So if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We'll make a few comments about last week's message and clarifications. Make sure you understand my understanding of the scripture and encouragement to you. And in a bit of review, a few follow-ups of this. I want everyone to understand I have a very high regard for both ladies and gentlemen in the service of the church, for both elders and young people in this church, and that age nor gender would be anything that would make me or should make any of us think any less or differently of each other. I'd say differently, but in a less regard or less value than each other. Certainly we understand that there are differences and that children are treated differently than adults, as well as some of the roles in the church between ladies and gentlemen. I also want to make sure that I'm clearly sharing that church would not happen without the men of this church. Church would not happen without the ladies in this church. And so I see the men and women as equals, but not the same. And I think there's value in understanding that. Men and women are created differently. I think God has made that clear. You can look at men and ladies and see that they are different. But you can also talk with one or talk with some and understand that there are differences too in the way that, in general, the mind and the thought processes work. Our culture as a whole wants no difference between men and women. And they're trying to, in my understanding, my opinion is that our culture wants to further rebel against God's good creation in creating men and women. And they want to say, God, you have no right to have differences between men and women. And so we're going to blend them. In the same way that our culture says, God, you cannot tell me, you cannot give life into my womb if I don't want it, so I'm going to destroy it. Or God, you cannot allow me to live another day, so we're going to have ways in which we assist people in killing themselves and call it good. There are instances all through our culture in which we don't want God to be God. And that's not what this message is about, but this is one example of that. I also believe that God celebrates the differences between men and women. And finally, one thing that I understand that I may have misclearly spoken, I want to make sure this is clear. I believe the scripture teaches that women should not teach men in the church, not teach at all. So make sure I got that clear. I do affirm and am glad that we have ladies who are teachers in the church. I just affirm that I believe the scripture teaches that women should not teach men. If you want to go back and listen last week, it is on our website and our podcast. Please do that. But make sure that you understand the limiting factor of a lady teaching in the church should be that she should not teach over men, nor I have authority over men, as Paul has said. Are we good? Let's move on. 1 Corinthians, just for context, I'm going to read these verses again, but we're not going to go over them again. We're going to pick up in verse 36. But the context is important because here we understand submission. And that idea that men should not teach, women should not teach men in the church is under the idea of submission in some way. And we see that put in our scripture. And that is the greater theme of the end of the chapter as well, in which he calls us all unto submission. So let me read this whole passage again for you. If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
Verse 29 of chapter 14. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and be encouraged. And the spirit of the prophets are, and here's your first one, subject to the prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, and again, in this function of judging and giving authority over prophecies, but should be in submission. There it is again, the theme of submission. As the law also says, if there's anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. Now let's continue into verse 36, as that was last week. Or was it from you that the word of God came? Or are you the only ones it has reached? Verse 36 is a transition from Paul asking now us the question, or not really us, but the church at Corinth the question. And as we read this, we have to say, well, why is Paul doing this? What does his question mean? It is obviously a rhetorical question. It's a question where we know the answer, and he is calling upon a truth that we already know or we already understand. And so he's going back and saying, look, you already know this, and this is what you need to be thinking about as a principle to guide the way that you're functioning in the church. So what Paul has done is he's called out the way the church has functioned in the church, the chaos, the disorder, the lack of submitting to each other in ways that are proper and good. And he says, do you think that the word of God came from you? And that's why I ask. Do you think you have the authority? Do you think you can do whatever you want, in other words? Do you think that you are the boss? Or do you think that the word of God came from God himself and we subject ourselves unto it? Church, when we come before the Bible, the scripture, and we read God's word, it should not be our job to say, okay, this is what I think it can mean, because this will benefit me. And that happens all over the place. People will pick and choose Bible verses that will accomplish what they want to accomplish. It's all over our culture. Non-believers do it. They say, do you really believe this? And they pull out a verse and twist the meaning. Songs are on the radio with verses that are just twisted in meaning. It's all over the place. Our job is to come before and say, Master Jesus, we are your servants here today. What does your word teach me? And we are to assume the role, if you will, of the butler, of the servant in the house, and say, Lord, you are greater than I. And though I have urges and desires in me that say I want to be greater than you and I want to have authority over these parts of my life, I humbly submit and say, Master Jesus, it is for you that I read. And that is his attack, really, upon this church. Or was it from you that the word of God came? Do you think you're the boss? Do you think you can do whatever you want in church? Do you think you can subvert God's good created order? Do you think you can subvert the differences in men and women and their roles? Do you think you can do whatever you want? Do you think you can write the word of God yourself and do whatever you want? And that's his question to you. Do you think you're the boss? And so, Christian, I want to encourage us as a bit of application here to say, when we come to church, when you open your Bible, when you read a verse that's on your mirror at home, that you come across this verse and you say, I might want to be ugly to that person who's ugly to me, but Lord, you've told me to bless them. Not only in the Proverbs, but out of Jesus' own mouth when he said, bless those who persecute you. And Master Jesus, it is my job and my role to be obedient to what you've called me to do. Am I right, Hilton? Look at the second question in that verse 36. Or was it from you that the word of God came? And then he follows that up with, or are you the only ones it has reached? I believe this is Paul questioning a second part of how we read Scripture. The first is we think we can make it mean what we want it to mean, and that's unfair. That's why I came before you last week and said, look, I don't understand why the Scripture says that it would prohibit women from teaching men in the church. I don't understand that, and I don't necessarily wouldn't have chosen it that way myself. However, church, I can't get around it. It's too many places. It's too clear, and I just have to submit to it. I don't know why, but I submit to it, and I'm going to live under it and say, Master Jesus. And then he gets to this part and says, or are you the only ones it has reached? In other words, do you think that it's all for you or all about you? Do you think that the Word of God is only for you? And this is where we must come under God's word and say, oh, we repent, oh God. When we read the Bible, it's not written to us. What is it written, church? How is it written? It's written for us. The word of God is written for us. And this is so important because if we don't understand this concept, we begin to take it and personalize it and say, well, Paul must have been writing this for me for today because I'm having this little problem today and this exact thing must be how I'm going to handle this situation, which could be true if you take the meaning that was given and apply the meaning that Paul intended and then apply that to us, or the meaning that Jesus spoke and apply it to our situation. But if you take words out and say, well, Jesus said to cast your net on the right side of the boat, so that must mean I'm supposed to go to the university that's on more west than east, or more east than west, because that's the right side. That's it. That's not the purpose of this. That's not the role of this. And even further, what Paul is getting at here to the church at Corinth is, quit being so self-centered with the way that you think God is working. And God is speaking. It's not just for us. Let me give you an illustration, if you will, of a way that some of these problems work out. And I'm going to give you a personal example. Even back in earlier in this book, when I was studying and preparing to preach 1 Corinthians, I read this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And it says this, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Okay? And I preach that passage. And as I was preparing to preach that passage, I've always read that passage to be that I was the one, verse 13, I was the one imparting things, like it says here, taught by the Spirit and interpreting these things, spiritual truths to those who are not spiritual. And I always read it that way. I'd read it as something of myself into it. But as I read it and began to study it and looked at all the eyes and looked at the context of the verse, I understood that's not talking about me at all. That's Paul talking about him imparting these things to us. And that I am a servant of what Paul is writing to me. I'm the one that needs the correction, not the one that needs to do the correcting. Look, I've studied the Scripture a long time, and I come across parts of the Scripture all the time that I go, that's not what I thought it meant. And I have to humble myself regularly before God's Word and say, Lord, I've misread that, misinterpreted it. I'm sorry. And so the word that comes from Paul, or was it to you that the word of God came? Are you the only ones that has reached? No, this is God's word to God's people. It is for us, written by the hands of the apostles, for us, that we might know it and understand it. So how do we come before it then? What's the point of all this? How do we come before the word of God? And I love how Tristan read it this morning. He read it in 1 Peter. This is for me, but it's not just for me, it's for you. He says, he exhorts the elders of the church, and he says, this is how church ought to be done. So hear this passage in 1 Peter 5. This is a beautiful, beautiful gift. And I see it as an incredible way as we come before and read the Word of God of how we should read it. And it is with this idea that it is Master Jesus. How should we read your Word? And watch how Peter tells us. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, this is Peter talking, as well as a partaker in the glory that's going to be revealed. And Peter says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, meaning watching over, shepherd the flock as an elder in the church, watch over people, but not under compulsion, but willingly. Not that you have to, but because you want to, as God would have you, not for shameful gain. Oh, how many an elder could read this and be corrected. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but as examples to the flock. I must pause right there and express to you the way that I understand my role in the church. We're talking about knowing our role. This is my role. When each evening, Wednesday, Sundays, as I'm up here for you, I want you to know how I see myself. I see myself as that servant for you. Okay? I see myself as the one who is there as your butler, as the one who is to bring you God's word, to bring you the teachings from the Scripture, not someone to tell you what to do or how to live your life, not someone to make your decisions for you, and not someone to be elevated or put up anywhere on a pedestal. My role in this church is to be your humble servant, your butler of God's word. To say, this is the teaching of God's word. This is how I pray for you. So please, I ask you to understand that is my role in this church. I am your servant. Why? Because verse 4 tells me why. And when the chief shepherd appears, the chief shepherd, that is Jesus Christ our Lord, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, watch this. Watch him go into this subjection idea. Be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud. God opposes the proud. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty right hand of God, the mighty hand of God, that in the proper time, He may exalt you. Church, know your role. May I know my role, and may I know that my authority is the Scripture, the Word of God, and the Spirit of God who teaches me the truths about God. Church, remember, I want to encourage you and ask you to consider thinking that same way. When you come into this church, that you put your hands forward and you say, Master, brother, Master, sister, how might I serve you today at church? When you come before the Bible, Master Jesus, what can I learn from you today? And that we see each other as each other's servants and masters, if you will. And that we are eager, as Peter says, to serve each other. Oh, how what a place this will be when we grasp this idea that we are mutual servants of each other. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty right hand of God, says Peter. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another, says Peter. Oh, a dose of humility, what it would do for each one of us in our lives. And how we could give bread and give water to those who persecute us and burn their conscience because they see the humility of God's people. Church, this is what the world needs to see. Not Christians who think we're right, but Christians who know we are servants of the Lord our God. That's what we need. And then Paul gives us a response to that, or a continuing thought for us. He continues his thought. It's not about you. It's not all about you. You don't create God's word. It's not for your gain. And then he gives this in verse 37 of chapter 14. If anyone thinks he's a prophet or spiritual, if anyone thinks he knows what he's doing, or anyone thinks he's in that role of leadership in the church, or even knows God, he should acknowledge that the things I am writing to you are a command from the Lord. Paul is expressing to us, if you are truly in sync with God, if you truly understand the mysteries that Jesus Christ is Lord, the mystery that God has reconciled man unto himself through the Son of God, if you truly are a part of who God is, then here's what you understand. You understand that what I'm teaching you is consistent with every other teaching that the Word of God has brought, and that He has given me, Paul, a role, an authoritative role, a gift of apostleship in order to bring to you the Word of God. If you know, if you truly are spiritual, you will understand these things and that these things are true. Exactly what Paul says. Church, we need to know our role. We need to understand who has authority and who does not, and what authority has been given to us for good, not for domineering. Let me read you a parable that Jesus told, if I might. A parable about humility and about stewardship. Understand this. If we come before the Word of God and we think, well, I just don't agree with that, so I'm going to make it say this, or I'm going to ignore this part, or I don't like this. What we have done is something similar to what happens in this parable I'm about to read. Matthew chapter 21, verse 33. Jesus says, hear another parable. Matthew 21, verse 33. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it, and built a tower and leased it to tenants, and went to another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent servants more than the first, and they did the same to them. And let me just tell you, church, this is the Old Testament, if you will. Okay? Jesus is speaking to Jews who have rejected his word and said, yeah, I like the word, but I don't like that part, so I'm going to change it. And I'm not going to listen to this part or that part. We'll take this part out, but I'm going to ignore this part. This was what happened throughout history. As God said, it's my garden. It's my world. Do things this way. And as people said, we like this part, but not that part. That's what Jesus is doing. He's incriminating all of those who have ignored him from creation. Then he gets to verse 37. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have the inheritance. We can rule without him. We can do whatever we want without him. We don't need this person coming in and telling us what to do. All we have to do is kill him, and we will be free to reign and to rule ourselves. Sound familiar? Story of the Bible, isn't it? It's the whole story of the Bible in the garden. All we have to do is ignore God, and we can rule and reign ourselves. Well, all the while, God says, I give you a good leadership. Just submit yourself to me. Adam and Eve in the garden failed. Israel fails over and over. The Son comes. Jesus Christ comes. Fail. Church, let me ask you this. When we read God's word and we change it and modify it in whatever way we want, we ignore it. What do we do? We fail. Verse 40. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? And he said to them, he will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their season. What does God do to the unfaithful servants? He judges them fully and completely. And he gives unto faithful servants that they might bear fruit unto God. Look, if this isn't the message of the Bible in a parable, I don't know what is. So friend, I ask us, will we be faithful servants? How do we know this is the point of the Bible? Look what Jesus even follows it up with this. He says, Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing and marvelous in his own eyes. You've rejected, you're going to reject me fully and completely. But it's marvelous in God's eyes because I will be the cornerstone is what Jesus is saying. Verse 43, therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you, Israel, and given to a people producing its fruits. To the church. To God's people. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken into pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. This is the gospel. So friends, if you're here, guests, if you're here and you've never heard that Jesus saves, I want to express to you this. We have all been those tenants who have rebelled against God's good authority, God's good reign. We have all stolen fruit for ourselves. We have all been at that tree in the garden and said, Lord, I know what's right and wrong, but I'm going to choose to do what's wrong anyway. We have all been there. And the scripture teaches us that we are all under the curse of the law. But the scripture also teaches us that Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law perfectly for us. And as we sang this morning, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become righteousness of God. Oh, glory be to God. He has saved us and lived righteously for us to redeem us and make us right in God's eyes. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the message of redemption. And friend, if you are here this morning hearing this message, Either you are in authority or Jesus Christ is. And if our hands are not spread before Him saying, Master Jesus, what shall we do for you? Then I ask you, who then is in authority? If we have not bowed the knee before the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Lord, you reign, you are my authority. Master Jesus, how shall I live now? Then we are in the same shape as these tenants who say, Lord, I know what you want, but I'm going to do it my way anyway. Christian, you may be here this morning, and there might be a seed of rebellion in your heart where you have surrendered your life to Jesus. You know that He is God, but you are just harboring some fruit from this garden in your own heart and saying, I'm just going to hold on to this. It's not that bad. And I want to say, in all due respect, you tell Jesus it's not that bad. You see what He says. And you read His parables. And you read His words. Jesus did not take any sin lightly. And let me close then with verse 38. This is Paul's response. If you don't recognize the Word of God as the Word of God, if you don't understand that it's not about you and your ability to change and twist, if you don't understand that it's the Word of God that needs to speak to us, like Belinda sang this morning, look what he says in verse 38. If anyone does not recognize this, what? Y'all help me out, church. If anyone does not recognize this, what? Recognize the authority. Recognize Master Jesus. Or be unrecognized by Master Jesus. And on the day of judgment, if you are not recognized by Master Jesus, it will not go well. So I encourage you this morning, as you're here under the Word of God, that you recognize the Word of God as it is. Recognize you as who you are and humble yourself greatly under the Word of God and under the authority of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and say, Lord, I surrender myself to you. Lord, I am not my authority in my own life. You are Master Jesus. Master Jesus, what would you have me do? And that you wake up every day in the morning and say, oh, Master Jesus, what would you have me to do today? How would you have me to live today, Master Jesus? May I serve you with my whole heart. Christians, this is what we are. Servants of the living God and servants of each other. May we pray together. We come before you, Lord, as our master, our owner, our maker. We are your humble servants, O Lord. Change us, transform us, and help us to faithfully bear fruit for the kingdom of God and for your glory. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You've come to a place